You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Father, I thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. Father, it's another opportunity for those who don't know you to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, those that need healing in their bodies to realize that Jesus paid that price. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He bore stripes on his back that we could be healed. Father, anyone that has disappointments or is battling depression, Father, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Father, I thank you that these and many more promises are going to come alive to them, and that they'll know that you love them with an everlasting love. And Father, that we'll walk out of here changed, challenged, and charged by your word. Father, I thank you. You said that you sent the rain and the snow from heaven to water the earth, to cause it to bring forth and bud, and to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall your word be. It shall accomplish that which you please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto you've sent it. So Father, I pray that today, as I deliver your word, Father, it's going to prosper in us, in our ears, as we are attentive to your word, Father, that it is going to change us, it's going to charge us, and it's going to challenge us to walk closer to you, Father, and we thank you for it in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So anyway, as I was saying, Wednesday night, Michael preached on possess the promises. And he talked about how in the Israelites, when they were getting ready to go into the Canaan land, God told them that he gave them this land and to go in and possess it. And later on, there's, I've forgotten exactly where it is, but Joshua says, you know, when are you going to possess it? Because some of the tribes did not go in and possess the area that God had promised them, because they divided up that land, and it was their responsibility to go in and take possession of it. And so we sometimes, we know what the promises are. Maybe we don't know, but we need to find out. And we need to possess those promises, because the world is constantly, this isn't my message, and this is exactly the way he preached it, but but we need to take hold of those promises and not let them be dormant in our lives. You know, we have the promises of healing, and yes, we do not always take hold of those promises and believe them, but we need to take hold of those promises. And life, our life, the world around us, is not talking about the promises of God. And so whenever you watch television or whenever you read the newspaper, you watch the news, you are constantly being bombarded by what the world is saying all the time. You know, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, so does doubt. Doubt will come because we hear it all the time. We hear how the economy is failing, how high prices are going to be, how people aren't able to pay their bills. They're losing their houses. They're losing their jobs. They're sick. They're dying. Take this drug, it's good for this. Take that drug, it's good for that. You hear that when you watch commercials on television. And so I encourage you to mute it, walk out of the room, turn the channel, anything like that, that would help you. And listen to the word. Fill yourself up with what the word says. You know, Pastor Don Murphy, when he was here a few years ago, he preached his message, and he used a Coca-Cola or a Dr. Pepper can, one or the other, as an example. And he said that when the top, before the top is popped open, you know, it's still closed up, you can't press that can. It is so full and it's so hard that it won't budge. But when you pop that top and it starts, and you start drinking it, or you spill it or whatever, it's got less content on the inside, then you can mash it. Well, when we're so full of the Word of God, when the devil comes, circumstances around us are pressing on us, and it's trying to get us to give in and to move, to get sick, to give up, not to press forward, then we've got to keep it full. We've got to keep ourselves full. And if we're not in the Word all the time, and we're not listening to the Word and building up our faith, then the pressures of life are going to cause those things to spill out, the God things to spill out, and the pressure is just going to make us become empty of the things of God. And so we have to press in. And so that is not my message, but it's good anyway, right? Okay. All right. Well, let's turn over to one other scripture, a scripture that Michael shared. I really was, I liked the message. It really stirred me. And this is in Matthew 11, verse 12. If y'all want to turn over there. The King James, let's see, let me put it. Okay, Matthew 11, verse 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." And in the Amplified, it says, "The kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion." In other words, when the men of God, when the people, men and women of God, who had been under the law all those years, they knew that they had to make sacrifices, and they were probably constantly concerned whether or not they had sinned and if they were right with God. And here they hear the good news of Jesus Christ, how much he loves us, how much God cared, that he loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus, who paid the price for us, who, when we sin, we know that we have an advocate with the Father because Jesus is our high priest. He's the one that's already paid the price. He's the one that's already taken all of our sin upon him. Any sin that you could commit, he's already paid the price for. So we don't have to sacrifice bulls and goats and whatever, make all the different sacrifices they had. I just finished reading, no, I haven't finished the Old Testament, but I just ran through all that, and it's long, and it's lots of things that they had to do to stay right with God. But Jesus paid the price for us. And when men and women heard that good news, it was like somebody had, they had found the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. They wanted it. They went after it. They were always constantly going for it. You know, whenever you in the Bible, it uses the illustration about a runner running a race and how he prepares for it. He runs, and we had a friend, have a friend that in Pasadena that ran marathons, and he would run 12 miles one day and 13 the next, I think it's right. But he ran every single day to stay in shape so that when it came to that 26-mile run, he could do it. And so we need to press forward for that prize of the high calling of God. We need to be have such a zeal for God, an excitement. And you know, as you've when you've been a Christian for a while, sometimes things are so comfortable. It's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to get complacent to what's going on in our lives. You know, it's easy to say, "Oh, well, I couldn't pay that bill this week, but you know, it's okay. It'll work out." I've got this, you know, whatever it might be, something. The excitement's gone. Well, that's an indicator that we need to press into God and press into him and get excited and stir ourselves up. You know, the Bible says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then the very next verse says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you can stay in the love of God. That love that he shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He wants us to stir it up. He wants us to stir up our faith and to stir up that gift that's in us and to stir ourselves up in what he's promised us and to possess it, not just let it slide on by. Not let, you know, in this life, you can't stand still with God because the world's going to push you back, push you away from him. So we have to press into him and press forward and move forward and not let this life change us. And so moving kind of into what I was going to minister, if you will turn over to Judges 6:12, and we're going to talk a little bit about Gideon. And I know that you've heard the story about Gideon. My youth up in class, I've taught about that, about Gideon in the last few months. We've talked about different men of God who God used, and some of them did not think that they were qualified to do what God has had called them to do. But here is Gideon, and he was a judge for Israel. The Israelites had they had sinned. God told them when they went into the land not to run out all the people that lived there, not to intermarry with any of them, not to worship their gods. As long as they worshiped him, his protection would be upon them. Well, they got off in sin. They started worshiping other gods and had just quit worshiping God, our God, the Lord God. And so the Midianites had come in and had taken all their food, took all their cattle, all their grain. Every time there was a harvest, they came in and got it. So the Israelites were in famine. They had no food. And here's Gideon. He is in a wine press processing the wheat to make it into flour to use. You know what they do. I didn't grow up on a farm, so I don't know all that stuff. Anyway, so nice to go to the grocery store and just be able to buy what you need, not have to do all that work. But the Israelites had prayed and cried out to God for him to help them. So they repented, and they wanted him to help them. And so an angel came down, and he talked to Gideon. And he said, "Oh, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you." And Gideon said, "Well, if, you know, I'm not a mighty man." He started making all these excuses. But first he says, "Well, if God is with us, then why is all this bad happening?" I guess he wasn't thinking about the sin that Israel had been in that opened the door for the devil to come in and let the Midianites do this to them. And that in the New Living Translation, it says, instead of a mighty man of valor, it says mighty hero. I like that. Mighty hero. The Amplified says, man of fearless courage. Yeah. And Gideon didn't think of himself that way. Here he is. He's just threshing wheat. He's just trying to get food for his family and those around him, his tribe. And the angel of the Lord said, Gideon said, his response was, "If the Lord is with us, why hadn't this happened?" You know, our fathers have told us of the miracles that God did. Why aren't those happening? And you know, one thing that I noticed as I read through, I'm to Nehemiah now. I'm just reading through the Bible in the New Living Translation. Very good translation. They rehearsed what God had done for their ancestors. That was something that they did. So that's what I want to minister on today, is to that not only do we need to possess the promises, like Michael preached on Wednesday night, but we need to remind ourselves of what God has done for us. And maybe those that are around us. Because when we start thinking about how good he is, how much he loves us, how much he cares, that Jesus wore stripes on his back, that we can be healed. How many of you have experienced the healing power of God? Look around. Everybody look around. Y'all look around at all the hands that are raised. So you could ask those people that you're sitting close to, or maybe somebody across the room, and ask them to share their testimony of what God did for them, so that when the devil comes and wants to put sickness on your body, maybe you got a bad report from the doctor, and the devil comes to make you doubt that he wants to heal you, then you can say, "She got healed," or "He got healed," and God's not a respecter of persons, so he's going to heal me. How many of you have experienced financial blessings? Look, I mean, almost every hand is raised. God wants us to prosper. He said that if we'd keep the word of God in our mouth, we'd confess it and talk about it and observe to do what the instructions, the thing in Joshua 1:8, that we would make our way prosperous and we would have good success. So we have to watch what we're saying about ourselves and about what's going on around us. We don't need to be talking or thinking. When those thoughts come, you're not going to make it. Then you have to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So we need to rehearse what God has done for us. You know, think about the church. Here we were, Michael and I came to Will's Point a small town, smaller than the congregation at Lakewood Church, where he was, I know he shares this, but he was teaching in a Sunday school class that was in the auditorium on Sunday mornings before the service started. We'd start with 400 or 500 people, and before, by the time the class was over, there'd be maybe 4,000 people there. And God said, go to Will's Point and start a church. Well, it's smaller than Lakewood's congregation, much smaller than its congregation now. But at that time, when Pastor John Osteen was still alive and was our pastor, it was a big church. But God said to come here. And so who would have thought that we'd come here to Will's Point and we'd have an awesome church with a great family of God, not just our family, our kids, they're all serving God, but not just our physical family, but our church family. We have done so much for God already. I mean, just our Hallelujah night, where we've had, you know, hundreds of people come, thousands really every year, come and provide a Christian alternative to Halloween, free of charge to everyone that comes. And people, adults have come out just to see what we're doing. They don't even have kids there, but they just want to see what's going on. And God has just blessed us and provided financially for that. And we've had families come as a result of it, and people get right with God. And our food ministry, how we would have never thought, you know, years ago, I don't know how long Chris and Sissy had been married. They'll be celebrating their 20th anniversary this summer. And ours is 40, theirs is 20, Jennifer and Clinton's is 10, and I forgot how many everybody else's are. Okay. Theirs is close to ours, so it's easy to remember. Sissy asked us one time, she and Chris and Michael and I were going somewhere, and she said, Michael, what if God showed you? Why doesn't God show you what we're going to be doing in 5 years in the church? And Michael said, well, that would be kind of neat, but it might be overwhelming. You know, our budget could be so large that I couldn't believe for that right now. But God has done some great things. He's used us as a church to do some great things. Lives have been changed. People have been born again. People have been healed and set free. They've experienced the joy of the Lord. They've seen their finances change and increase and improve. And if they're not increasing and improving, then we need to examine. If we're not healed, then we need to examine what God's promised and fill ourselves full of it so that we'll be just like that soda can with the top on. We're so full that you can't press against us. It doesn't matter what our economy's doing, what our government is doing. We need to pray for them, but it doesn't matter what all is going on in the world, or in our country, or in our city. We have the power of God in us, and we have the promises of God in us, and we need to rehearse the things that God has done for us in our church. And you know, we've shared many times how there was months, years, or well, a year in particular, that our finances were so bad in the church that we were making late payments on our main mortgage every month, and then we had a side note that we had to make late payments on, and late payments weren't cheap. And we financed when the interest rate was high, so our payments were large. But God met our needs financially. You know, we stayed faithful in our giving. We were given to missions, and we were doing things that God told us to do. And then God gave that idea. Pastor Gary Upham came and shared that idea about bringing an extra dollar every service and putting it on our loans. And so we started doing that. And Michael used the example of David. My mouth is so dry. Can you give me a bottle of water, please? Thank you. David killed the lion. God gave him the wherewithal to kill the lion and to kill the bear, and then he killed Goliath. He proved God with the lion. He proved God with the bear. And so when Goliath, you know, either the Bible says people think it's either 9'9" or he was 13 feet tall, somewhere in there, anything, he was big. And David was a young man. He was probably a teenager. He had just been out taking care of his father's sheep. And he heard Goliath the very first time. He heard him. The Israelites, the armies of Saul, had heard Goliath two times a day, every morning and every night for 40 days. And they let him persuade them that they had fear and could not do anything about it. They had given up. And David comes in and he hears, he goes to take his brother some food and see how they're doing at his father's instructions. And he hears Goliath for the very first time and he's ready to fight. You know, who is he to think he can oppose the armies of the living God? And Goliath was saying, you're just, you know, you're armies of Israel. He was all completely in the natural, completely in looking at the natural. But David knew who his God was. And he went out and he killed Goliath. Okay, we'll go back to Gideon. Okay, so Gideon, here he is. And so the angel of the Lord convinces him that he can do this. So he called in the army, got the armies together, or a group of men together. And it was 32,000. And God told him, this is too many. I want to get the glory out of this. I don't want the Israelites to get proud that they were able to defeat the armies of Midian by themselves. And so he said, tell everybody that's afraid or fearful to go home. 22,000 went home. Left them 10,000. And I don't think there's any description of how large the Midianite army is in this case. There's lots of other cases where the Amorites or the Midianites, I forgot which one, that they said that it was they were numbered like the locust. And remember, maybe y'all haven't had the grasshoppers really bad at your house, but we have that, you know, like an acre and a half behind our house. And on every blade of grass, there was a grasshopper. And you could just look out there, and they're just, and I thought, oh my goodness, there's no telling how many thousands were in the army, even in this army. And so then God still said, there's too many. And so he told him what to do, and so he reduced the army down to 300 men. And God, they were successful in overcoming the Midianites. And then there's many other stories. And when you read through the Old Testament, you see that they'll start reminding themselves of how God brought them through the wilderness, how God brought them into the promised land, how he took them out of captivity in Pharaoh's captivity in Egypt, and provided for them, fed them manna from heaven, brought the quail in, how he brought water out of a rock, how he dried the Red Sea for them to walk across. You know, there's an estimate of, was it 1 million or 2 million people? Wasn't it just supernatural that the water split? It wasn't just supernatural that it was enough of a split that 1 or 2 million people walked across it, but it was dry ground when they went across. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they never grew weary. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. That would be nice, wouldn't it, today? Your clothes didn't wear out, if they just kind of grew with you and shrunk with you. And ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, but they reminded themselves of what God said. And, you know, they also had instructions to put the law, which is Bible verses for us, around their house to look at all the time. And the Pharisees and Sadducees wore them like right here. I mean, they had them right there where they could look at them, or on their wristband. They had a little box or something. But we need to have the word in front of us all the time and to find out what God's promises are and to take possession of them and say them and do them and listen to what God says, not what the world is saying, and remind ourselves and find people that have experienced the goodness of God in their lives and let them encourage you. You know, the Bible's in I think it's in Proverbs, it says that, no, it's not. But anyway, wherever it is, it talks about iron sharpeneth iron, that a friend will sharpen the countenance of a friend. And when we get together, we need to be encouraging each other about the things of God. You know, I have found sometimes that somebody will be talking about how this or that happened to them, they got sick, and then you just kind of fall in that, well, you know, it happened to me, and I did this, and this happened, and da-da-da-da-da. And instead, we should be talking about how, well, you know, God healed me, and not be offensive when we do it, but just encourage them that if God can heal me, then he can heal you. And this is what God says about supplying your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, or encouraging them that God gives peace that passes understanding, and that he gives us the joy of the Lord. And in Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah are stories about the accounts of when, after the Israelites had been in captivity for 70 years. Remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I can't say their Hebrew names because I don't remember them. It's easier to remember the other ones, the Babylonian names, how Nebuchadnezzar took them into captivity. Well, that's when he took Israel into captivity for 70 years. And then Ezra and Nehemiah, Ezra had favor with the king after Nebuchadnezzar, the next king that ruled, and he sent him back to Israel to rebuild the temple. And then Nehemiah came in, and he helped rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And so this is stories about them. And they, in Nehemiah 8, it's a familiar scripture, the joy of the Lord is our strength, comes from Nehemiah 8. And in verse 10, it said that they read the, after they had come to a stopping place on what they were rebuilding, then they gathered all the people together and they started reading. They found, when they were working on all of this and repairing everything, they found the book, the law. They found copies of the law. And I guess they'd been in captivity, so they hadn't had it. So they gathered all the people together, and they started reading them the books of the law. And they went through everything, and the people started weeping because they realized they weren't doing the things that God told them to do. They hadn't been sacrificing. They hadn't been doing all the things that God had instructed them to do. And so they started weeping. And Ezra, the priest, said, "Don't cry, don't weep. This is a day of rejoicing because we've come to know what God's promised us." It's a time, it's an awakening. It's a happy, joyous time. You need to go out and celebrate. You need to go have a party because the joy in Nehemiah 8:10, the bottom last part of that verse says, "Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So go have a party. Let's celebrate. So they had a celebration for several days because they had found out what God said. You know, it wasn't just the law and bad things. It was all the promises that he gave them, all the things that he would do for them, how he would protect them, how he would strengthen them when they had opposition. And so that's what we need to remind ourselves of, and looking back at the testimonies of how God has healed and blessed, and how he's met needs in the church, how he's grown the church, how he's as an entity, but also how he's grown us, how he's grown us up in the Word, and how he's how we're seeing our children come up and serving God, and for me, my grandchildren that are excited about what God says, and wanting to pray for you when you don't feel good, or wanting to see things change, and they want to pray, and it's just so good. And then we've got how God met our needs financially. I don't think I finished that. That not only did we when we had the Gary Upham came and he shared with us, challenged us to bring that extra dollar every service. We took that money and we put it in savings, and we made our monthly payments every month and took what had accumulated in the savings account and applied it to one of the bills. We started with the one that had the least amount on the balance, and we paid that one off. And Michael named them the Lion, the Bear, and the Goliath. So we paid off one, and then we tackled the second one. We paid it off, and then our goal was in sight for December of 1995 to pay off the big mortgage on the building. And Jerry Savelle came and ministered at our anniversary service in August that year. And he said he wanted to pay off our building. So he wrote us a check for $18,500 and paid the building off for us. And so we have, just a few years ago, before that, it didn't look like we were going to make it. It didn't look like we were going to be able to hold on to our building. In fact, people at the bank were talking about it because we had another pastor that called Michael and said, hey, we heard y'all are struggling financially out there. Would you want to sell your building? And Michael said, no, this is what God's called us to do. And that when he's going to meet our need, and we're going to get it paid off. So we paid it off with our V money. I think it was 5 years before the note was supposed to mature, something like that. So we saved thousands of dollars doing that. And so God met that need, and he came through for us. At the same time that the church was struggling financially, we personally were struggling also. We had we were 4 months behind on our house, and they had sent us a foreclosure notice on our house. And we were, there's times that you might shake in your boots a little bit, but you still have to stand up and believe for God to meet your needs. And when we bought our house, the market was a little higher than it was at this time, and so we were upside down in our note. We owed more than the house was worth. And the bank they said, okay, well, we'll refinance it if you'll come up with $25,000. Well, we're 4 months behind. We'll just whip out 25. We couldn't pay you every month, but we can whip out 25,000. And Michael found a scripture, and it said that he would, it's Proverbs 17, 16, 18, that he'll help you with those who are too strong for you. And very butchered quote, but anyway, that's close to what it says. And so we held on to that God was going to give us favor, and he was going to work it out. And they refinanced our house. And so we had it paid off last year. And but God has, there's just, I could go on and on about testimonies, and y'all could stand up individually and talk about how God's healed you, and how, I know one time Tina was believing for her eyes, and I'm sure she still is, but when she, every year she'd go to get her eyes checked, and they'd be deteriorated just a little bit, and she'd have to have stronger glasses or contacts. And then one year she went after she'd been believing, and they had actually improved. And so that's, and haven't talked to her about it since then. But and Vangie's been healed, cancer, different ones. I'm sure we could go through a whole list. And when you spend time with each other, then you find out, hey, God did it for them, he can do it for me. And you can share testimonies of how he's met needs. This one might seem silly, but I lost a contact. They're not cheap. A heart gas permed contact, they're a little more pricey than the soft ones. I lost it in the pickup, and 3 weeks later, I found it in there. I was going to find my contact. We had to go out of town for 10 days in the middle of not having it. I had an old one, so I pulled it out and used it. But you say, well, that's kind of silly. No, it's not. That was $150, $185 that I saved because I found my old contact, And there are things that God will do. People ask us to pray for their animals, and their animals have been healed. And so you just, God is interested in everything that affects our lives. And he wants us to succeed and to prosper and to be so full of him that, we're light shining in a dark place. And when we let our light shine, when we're full of the joy of the Lord, when we're not down in the mully groves because we can't pay a bill or we're not feeling well, and people see that there's something different about him, there's something different about her. I wonder what that is. And they're drawn to you. You need to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Because you're a light. You know, you don't always have to talk about, you don't have to be obnoxious about preaching to every person you come in contact with. Your life will draw them because you're letting Jesus shine through you. You love on them. You care about them. And so we need to remind ourselves about what God has done and is doing. He hasn't changed. We have a new covenant that's even better than the old covenant. So when you see things that happened in the Old Testament, we serve our God. We have a new covenant with Him. We have Jesus, who's our intercessor and our high priest and our healer, our redeemer. And so we can take hold of those things. In Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12, it says to remember the works of old. And then it goes on and says that meditate on all of God. I will meditate on all of your work and talk of your doings. We need to do that. We need to meditate on how God has been so good to us, how God has saved me, how He's redeemed me, how He's healed me, He's set me free, He's given me peace, He's given me joy. My kids are serving God. My grandchildren are serving God. God is blessing us financially. He's growing the church. We're doing great things in the church that God's given it, renewing our vision, and that's what we need to be thinking about and talking about and looking and recounting the miracles that God has done. Recount what you've seen Him do in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Recount what you know He's done in other people's lives, but especially recount what He's done in your life, how He's met needs and how He's remember Michael shared this testimony, Chris, when he was 6th, 7th grade maybe, I can't remember. He had a knot come up on his neck, and we were kind of nonchalant about it. Oh, you're healed. Yeah, you're healed. Chris, you're healed. And then one day, God really got on to Michael. Some of our ladies had gone, we'd gone to Lakewood to a ladies' meeting. Michael had all five of the kids by himself. But the ladies who did not go spoiled him. I'm thinking, he's going to see what it's like. You know, taking care of all five of them, cooking and all that kind of stuff. And ladies were so sweet to him, they took him food every night. They took them food so he didn't have to cook. But anyway, Michael realized that he had not gotten serious with God about that, not on Chris's neck. And so he got all the kids together, and they prayed for Chris and told that knot it had to go in the name of Jesus. And the next day, I think it had gotten a little bit bigger. And it was a few days, but that knot went down completely. It had gotten so large that he could not turn his head. It hurt to turn his head, you know, from back and left to right. And Dr. Galloway said that in his opinion, without, you know, because of the studies that he did when he went through school to be an oral surgeon, that in his opinion, he felt like that it was probably a cancerous thing that... But God healed Chris. And, you know, y'all know the stories about our last three grandbabies, that each one pregnancy was a challenge, and yet all three of them have healthy babies, and this one's going to be healthy too. And so anyway, I just wanted to encourage you and to stir you to let's rehearse and remember. Let's possess the promises like Michael shared on Wednesday night. And like I said, you might want to get that copy of that message. But let's remind ourselves of how good our God is, how He's been good to us, and how He's met our needs, and how He's blessed us. And yeah, maybe there's times that we weren't successful or we didn't see a change, but there's more times that He has blessed and He has helped and He has given us what we needed than the thing that far outweighs the times that it wasn't that He failed. It's that we weren't believing. I mean, if you are honest, you know, you have to admit that there are times that we just don't believe big enough. We don't believe all the things that God says. So we need to stir ourselves and draw in closer to Him. Amen.